Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Here and There, the podcast of the Germanic American Institute. This is Günther hosting. Today, we're taking you back to the motherland, all the way back to Germany for an episode of Make It in Germany.
This is the podcast of the Germanic American Institute.
Welcome.
Willkommen.
Where Germanic-speaking European countries...
Germany.
Deutschland.
Austria.
Österreich.
Switzerland.
Blend with the Midwestern United States.
Hallo.
Servus.
Grüezi.
We are here and there, and we invite you to come along on the journey.
Don't jump to conclusions. It's not a reality TV show. It is an actual organization which we connected through LinkedIn with on a post that focused on talent selection in Germany, especially skilled talent from abroad. We reached out, and I have the pleasure today of welcoming Michelle Ninchu, who is a researcher for immigration at Make It in Germany. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very glad to give you the information you need about the immigration process to Germany, actually.
Let's start with a really high-level overview, if you would. What actually is Make It in Germany?
Yes, Make It in Germany is a portal. So it's the official website of the federal government for skilled migration. We started 2012 as a project. The project idea was from the German Economic Institute, the IW Köln. So we get the idea to make a platform where we can attract or inform people abroad about the career changes in Germany. And the basic idea was to let them know what opportunities they can have in Germany, because we were coming from a situation in Germany where with a shortage of labor were increasing in many economic sectors. So the Institute itself works or have published many studies about labor market in Germany. And one of the solutions to overcome the problem of skill shortage is to promote skill migration. So the German Economic Institute had the idea in 2011, about 2011 and 2012, we get the fundings from the Federal Ministry for Economic Affairs. And then we launched the website in June 2012. And since 2018, so the project has taken for several phases. So that 2018, because we have won a very broad acknowledgement from other corporations, from other institutes, from other official authorities in Germany about the topic. And then 2018, we became, so the Make It in Germany portal became the official platform of the Bundesregierung, yeah? So we are now funded by the Bundesregierung, but the supervisor, the authority that still supervises the project is the Federal Ministry for Economic Affairs. That is the how we started.
That is quite official. Basically, Make It in Germany has two focus points, I would at least as far as I understand this now. One, to be educational, publishing studies in terms of what is the economic situation like, what are some of the shortages that German employers experience, but at the same time also to be a portal in which people can learn more about what does it actually take to get to Germany and perhaps attain employment. Did I summarize this correctly?
Yes, yeah, so yeah, it's like, but first of all, we are an information platform, yes. We inform about the immigration procedure for skilled workers from abroad, yeah. And at the beginning, at 2012, we started as there was this big economic crisis, financial crisis, where many people or many workers coming from the Southern Europe, from countries like Italy and Portugal and Spain, they have the greatest financial problems during that crisis. And there they were willing to move to the other countries in order to work there. So In this period, Germany attracted many workers coming from other European countries. But with the time, as the potential of skill immigration started to decrease from that countries, we changed the focus and now looking at third countries. So in countries where a bigger potential of immigration is there, we try to explain or give the broad information about this immigration, because for these nationals, the steps are quite difficult. Let's say for European nationals, it's easier to move to Germany than yes. when one comes from a third country, yeah? And you have to take, for example, you have to get informed about the visa procedure, about the recognition process of your qualification and so on. And that is the point, I mean, it's around 2016 where we focus really on third country immigration potential. Yes. This is also the reason why, may I continue? It is also the reason why you will find the topic visa is very highlighted on the portal, because the visa question or the legal regulation of the visa procedure is one is a very big aspect when talking about immigration from third country.
And we will touch on that later on with a little more detail. Let me ask you real quick two questions regarding, for one, country selection. So you just mentioned that a lot of skilled labor comes from Southern Europe, Italy, perhaps Greece, and so forth. What about countries from outside the European Union? Who reigns supreme there, and where do German employers want to attract the most talent from?
Yeah, according to the actual statistic, many professionals, foreign professionals, come from countries like India. When you look after the IT sector of the tech workers, for example, India, Indonesia, and Vietnam, when looking for professionals in the healthcare sectors, and Mexico and Brazil too. The reason why these countries are really interesting for Germany is also that there have been some cooperation, some the government, I mean the Bundesagentur für Arbeit, a federal agent, federal employment agency. Yes, that is the official name of the Bundesagentur für Arbeit. They have tried to set up some project with the official of with the government in this country in order to hire the professional they want, because actually the sector, the economic sector where the shortage of labor is of skilled work is very big is the IT sector and also the healthcare sector. So Vietnam is very interesting for healthcare, IT, in IT, India, Brazil is also very important when talking about those.
So from an American perspective, when I hear the term skilled worker, my head goes towards blue collar labor, so to speak, the electrician, the plumber, the air conditioning maintenance engineers and so forth. And when we go to thought labor, essentially we come out with IT, with healthcare, with people who finished a college education. Is the same rule of thumb applicable by when we say skilled worker in Germany, or is it just basically skilled meaning any kind of skill?
Any kind of skill. In Germany, when we talk about skilled workers, we consider professions where a degree or any qualification is a condition. So for any profession where you have to get a qualification, a specific qualification is considered in our jargon skilled worker or skilled professional. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's quite different in other countries such as the US. So we certainly also, we also in certain way, we also differ make the difference between skilled and high skilled worker. This is also a difference that we make. But actually, in our context of Make It in Germany, when we talk about skilled workers, we are considering as well skilled as a high skilled worker. So both categories are interesting for us.
Yeah. Now, immigration in and of itself is already a pretty hot topic in the U.S. It is usually heavily politicized. We'll keep politics out of this conversation, but just really look at it from an economic and employment perspective. But even there in the U.S., we find challenges where immigrants are just not really well regarded, of course, depending on certain demographic parameters. What is this like in Germany? Are immigrants welcomed? Are they integrated? Does it, of course, depend to some degree on the immigrant themselves? What is the general tonality and temperature towards immigrants?
Yes, it's a quiet. It depends on, let's say, what kind of immigrants we're talking about. Yeah, for many years, so the topic immigration was also a very difficult topic here from the political discussion. Yeah, as we started with Make It in Germany, it was also not well accepted by the general, by the society itself to promote immigration. But once you come out with facts about the contribution of immigrants to the economy or to the society itself, it is better accepted by the German society. So we have also, I think this is also something I have seen during the years with Make It in Germany, that our part or the project itself contribute to talk about immigration in a positive way. Because before that, it was completely different. It was very difficult for somebody or for a normal German citizens to get the argument why we need immigration in Germany. But actually, with the Make It in Germany project, we set the we are sitting on the table with people or with decision maker who, at a certain point of view, never considered this positive aspect of immigration. So when the immigration is skilled immigration, it's better accepted in Germany. We have also made this conclusion as the debate about the refugee in 2015. Also at this time when many refugees came to Germany, it was also very complicated from this in the society itself to say, are we for or against this refugee? Do you have to welcome them or not? And once you come up with the contribution of this refugee for the economy in Germany, it is better accepted. So people are willing, are open to accept it because they are also, they acknowledge that these people have also something to bring to the country in general. So I think we have make a bigger step so that we have now, since March 2020, a new immigration law that really promotes skilled immigration. I think it's also a bigger step since the 2 years 2000 where all the regulation about migration was there was no open strategy. Yeah, but actually, our decision makers in Germany have decided to just make a more transparent way in order to make it easier for immigrants to enter the German labor market. That is, for me, is a sign that it is even better accepted.
So yeah, that's the topic immigration.
Yeah. It was a very great battle, but we are moving in the right direction.
So, of course, I mean, this has all taken place predominantly before we were globally affected by COVID-19. So the question is, at present, so I have two lines of thought basically here. At present, is the entire idea of attracting skilled labor to immigrate into Germany how heavily is that being affected by COVID-19, by the corona shutdown, by stipulations that the government set forth to protect the people who are currently in Germany? How does that affect talent attraction and immigration?
Yes, we are still in the crisis, so the crisis is not yet at the end, And what also a question, as is all started in March 2020, where we asked ourselves, oh, what will make it in Germany? How what is the future of the project, actually? And what we know is that with the corona crisis, there were travel restrictions. So that means even companies who hire from abroad had the difficulty to get their skilled worker in the company itself. But the authorities have adjusted, and they are still. So actually, it is possible to come to Germany if one has a binding job offer. So what is actually not possible is to come in without a job offer in order to seek after an employment in Germany. That is not possible at the moment. But if an immigrant has a binding job offer from a company in Germany, he can still travel to Germany in this year, in this period.
The safeguard, quote unquote, is that you have to have an accepted or an acknowledged job offer in your pocket to gain entry, which under normal circumstances outside of COVID is not necessarily the case. So you can still come to Germany and then go job searching.
Yes. That's the shift yet. But with the new, we have in Germany a new law, a new immigration law in March 2020 that enables many skilled workers that do not yet have a binding job offer to come to Germany in order to look after one. Because the decision makers in Germany has considered that it's really difficult for a foreigner to look after a job when still abroad. So this visa for job seeking has been extended to much more people from third country, and we have expected that there will be more and more people coming in for the prospect of looking after a job. But the COVID crisis came, and the restriction was there. That means not only people who have a binding job offer in Germany can come in.
That makes
sense. And therefore, we hope, that makes sense. And actually, we also have in Germany a greater demand of IT workers, so IT specialists. So. And it is the situation is so, it's so serious that the Ministry of Economic Affairs want that make it in Germany communicate more on the perspective in this sector. So we have now to focus really on the sectors where the shortage of labor market will be very big. And we are now on the IT specialist and the specialist of the medical profession. So nursing and physicians and so on. And I think it will also the future of Germany, really to focus on these sectors. It's understandable because we started 2020 with the idea we are going rather, so we will. Yet we will now promote immigration in all qualified professions, but with COVID, it's actually the situation where we have to consider the restrictions that are coming.
So when I looked into the website and the linkages within the website and so forth, there is just an overwhelming amount of information. I mean, it's great to have all the information at your fingertips and to really get a thorough understanding, but it also imposes a little bit of a challenge in terms of where do I actually start where is the best entrance, if you will, to A, inform myself, but B, then also really find something that perhaps suits my skill. How do I go about it?
So if you come on our homepage, you will find a very interesting tool called Quick Check. Yeah, it's really a quick check. That means in three questions or maximum four questions, you will know at the end the result of your check, and then you will get the first information on where do I start. So if you do not yet have a job offer, you will recommend to start looking for a job. No? And since we are talking about skill migration, we also have a job listing on our website. Yeah. And where people from abroad, especially from third countries, can look after the job they are, the profession where they want to work in Germany. Let's say somebody who already has a binding job offer, the question will be for him, do I come in with a visa or not? Yeah, I think for the US, for US citizen, you can come in without a visa. US citizen can come to Germany visa free and stay up to 3 months. And after 3 months, they have the obligation to apply for a residence permit here before starting in the company for working purpose. Yeah.
But so they still have to have a binding job agreement.
Yes, they still have to have the binding job agreements. Actually, for working purpose, I would not recommend somebody to come to Germany and hope that in 3 months we get a job offer in Germany. No, I will definitely recommend to look after once while staying in the US. And once you get the job offer to come in, if it's complicated, because we are coming, we are now in a situation where many embassies, so in German embassy have closed their doors in mm-hmm. countries because of COVID-19. We have, for example, the case in India, where they have canceled all the appointments, all the visa appointments because of COVID there. Therefore, in those situations, it will be very difficult for somebody, even with a binding job offer, to get a visa, because the German embassy does not work, will not proceed any visa application. Yeah. So for the US citizens, it will therefore be very, very interesting. Let's say if such a situation comes that the German embassy is not in the position to proceed visa application, he can come in with his job offer visa free, and in here in Germany get the residence permit. That would still possible.
That is incredibly helpful. But what does it?
Yeah.
I mean, what does it actually take to immigrate? Besides the job offer, besides the visa process. What about language skills? Are language skills now
that is
expected, or what does it look like?
I mean, language skills, yeah, German skills are very important. There are two aspects, yeah. Let's say for the visa, so the visa application itself, for getting a visa, it is in general not mandatory. I mean, yeah, it's not lowly mandatory to have German skill in order to get the visa. But on the other hand, you have the working aspect, the integration aspect here. You have to speak German. So it's very important. It is even true that Germany, I mean, the German labor market is international, is becoming international. Yeah, there are many expats here, there are many people coming from abroad who work in Germany, but it's not really the majority, it's still a minority. The minority of company has English as the corporate language. That means for the career, in order to be understandable, to communicate in the job or in everyday life, you have to get some German skills. So I would also recommend really, even for international student who comes here to take part to the master degrees in English, it is still important to know a little bit German in order to be successful.
So with the language skills, since the visa process doesn't necessarily reflect on German skills, the work permits that one probably has to attain, do they reflect on language skills? Is there a test that somebody can take or has to take? What does that look like?
For the visa application itself, it's not, in general, it's not mandatory to show that they you can speak German. But for getting the job, for example, in order to come in the job, in the company, in order to communicate with the employer, with the colleagues, it's important to speak German when coming with a job offer. Because there are few companies who are international where you can speak English in the company the whole day and you get no problem. Nah? But the majority of companies have German as the corporate language. So therefore, it would be very, very important for the professional, so for the foreign workers to get also German skills. So from the beginning, I would also always recommend to learn German so that you can communicate normally with normal people.
So for instance, as I am Austrian, that's probably the only country that I'm a little more familiar with in terms of requirements. So we have the Aufenthaltserlaubnis, so basically the visa. Yeah. And then we have the Arbeitserlaubnis, so basically the worker's permit.
Yeah.
And the worker's permit usually comes in conjunction with a job offer by an organization. However, the work permit also has language skills tied to that, and that depends on the level of employment. So for instance, if you have a master's degree, it is waived for, I think, 2 years, and after 2 years, you have to produce the A2, the A2 certificate. You got to be able to pass that, which of course within 2 years, if you are in Austria, is really not an issue. But they make sure that language skills, which of course now tie to cultural skills as well, that this is being accommodated for. Is that similar in Germany?
No, not really. First, in Germany, we do not have any work permit anymore. So a specific work permit does not exist in Germany anymore. So once you have an Aufenthaltserlaubnis, it always gives you the possibility to work. Yeah. And there are different cases where German skills are considered. So normally for skilled workers that already have a job offers in Germany, the authority responsible for issuing the Aufenthaltserlaubnis do not or does not check anymore how the German skills are. No, it's not. It will not do that. No, because at this stage, it is considered that the German employer has already checked the skills if this person is able to work in the company with his language skill, German or English or anything else. But there are other situations. Now, after coming to Germany and after working 2 or 3, 4 years, if the foreign professional now wants to get a settlement permit, it is the unlimited Aufenthaltserlaubnis, he will then have to prove that he has a certain level of German skills.
So it comes later. So if you really wanted to become almost a naturalized citizen, so somewhere in between, staying for long. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So that proof, so to speak, is just delayed down the road.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's delayed. Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about the ins and outs, and also IT, obviously, and healthcare being one of the predominant focal points of German employers right now, and obviously also for Make It in Germany. Does Germany actually publicize a short skills list on other countries? For instance, New Zealand does that. You do a point system, and then you are being ranked. Does Germany do something similar?
Yes, there is a sort of positive list or white list or something like that. There is an analysis that is published every year, I think once a year, from the BA, from the Bundesagentur für Arbeit. This is analysis from the Bundesagentur für Arbeit, which just said in which sectors there is a shortage of labor. So this is the basis where the economy orientated and just say, or the politics itself consider in which sector are we going to promote immigration or not, based on this list or this analysis that the Bundesagentur für Arbeit published once a year. And actually, the professional concern are those in the IT sector, the healthcare sector, and the logistics sector also. So, I mean, professional drivers, for example, also a very interesting job, actually.
So let's just say I identified, after having answered the four questions and I've looked at potential job offers and I started to apply, which we'll talk about the application process here in a minute. But considering you're a researcher for immigration, I'm wondering, once I'm entering the pool of candidates that are being considered for a permanent job offer, how can I increase my chances? What are some of the tips and tricks that you know of?
How you can increase the chances for getting a job in Germany? First, learn German. I'll also say, please start to learn German, because even while looking after a job, you will always find jobs that are published in German. The most job offers are published in German. They are published with the German standards, yeah? And even when the company are interested in international professionals, they are not well trained to know how to address these people. So they will always publish their job listing according to German standards. It means they will write in German, yeah? So the international professional has first to learn German. If it has a foreign qualification, he will make a demand or apply for the recognition of its qualification in Germany, because it's not really the probability that the foreign degrees is consider as the same as the German one is very low, actually. The degrees or any qualification coming from the EU are very good, have good chances to be recognized here, fully recognized. But other third countries, for example, the potential of a full recognition is not very great. So, check or identify or look after, check if the qualification is recognized in Germany, is fully recognized in Germany, learn German, and then look after a job. Yeah. If the profession, if the qualification is not fully recognized, there is still the possibility to come to Germany in order to requalify or to for post-qualification. Yes, post-qualification, I think is the technical term. So that you can graduate in another field or make an additional training course in order to get the full qualification. So it is not really bad, actually, when not getting the full qualification. There are still immigration opportunities for those people.
Okay, so basically you would up-train into what is the equivalent of the German qualification as you would have it, for instance, in the US, because our educational standards, particularly as it comes to, for instance, apprenticeships and whatnot, are a little bit different. That makes perfect sense. Let's say I'm actually identifying a job that is perfect for me and Germany is the place to be, because 6-week vacation and 20 holidays that are paid for every year and healthcare is paid for, and my retirement is also pretty much taken care of. How would I actually go about applying, and what does that process look like? What actually needs to be on my resume to even be looked at and not just thrown out right away?
The process of applying, we have a very interesting film, a short video, in order to explain to foreigners how to apply in Germany. So what are the employer looking after? What is important for them? And a resume is the content of the resume has to be authentic. That is the fact. You don't have to put anything that is completely false, no. And but the interesting thing to know, the most important thing to know is structure, the formal aspect of the resume. That is important. So everything that is not correct does not belong in a resume, but for the German employer is the form of the structure, the form of the resume actually, yeah? That, for example, a resume must be signed at the end. That is something that in other countries does not exist. It's important in Germany. If not, maybe the employer would think, oh, that is not correct. And for the employee, it's also very important that the resume or the motivation letters in German, for example, that there is no mistake in. It is very taken seriously here. Are those, little aspects, I mean little because they are very different in other countries, the standards, but all those important standards for German employers, we try to explain that in this short video so that international professional can orientate themselves, can know how to present themselves to the German employers. There are still many, let's say, big company or international company in Germany that allows also application in English, and therefore they are international standards. I mean, if you just write your resume like a British one or a US one, it will be accepted there. But for the whole, for the majority of German employers, it's important to know the standards and to adjust to them.
So I'm guessing it is fair to say that if a job posting is written in German, that they would expect German standards to be upheld, as opposed to a job offering being written in English, then perhaps an international US formatted resume may suffice.
Yeah.
But one of the things that perhaps is the most difficult to grasp is not just that the resume, the German resume, has to be signed at the bottom, but we commonly have a picture of ourselves on the resume. We commonly include data that in the US would immediately be just completely outrageous, such as the date of birth and the familial status, whether you're married, divorced, widowed, what have you. Those are things that we're actually putting on the German/Austrian resume. How challenging is it for an employer to recognize that this is different in another country and that such information is just culturally usually not provided, not even talking legal here? Would you still consider it if you don't put a picture on there and if you don't put your date of birth on there, or do you have to have that?
Yes, it's difficult. It's a difficult question. We also recommend in such cases to contact the company and ask if they're open to American or any English-speaking standards concerning the application, because at the end, the decision to hire the person is from the employer. The employer decided at the end, yes? So it is really important for the professional, for the international professional, to get the right information. And if an employer decided, oh, I am open to international professional, my experience is that the majority of them are really open. They are very flexible what this application form are. So they will take really the time to explain what they expect in the application form, because what we have are the employers who are in the job listing of Make It in Germany know that they all know that they are going to become to receive many international applications. So they are prepared to get such applications different from the German standards. But what I will recommend to the employees to do, to the job seeking people, is to get directly in contact to the company and ask what is possible. Do they want only German standards, or are they open to other standards?
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that if you are contacting a German employer asking whether they're open to consider people from abroad, you will actually get an answer. Whereas in the US, commonly, and statistics would, I think, also underline this, being ghosted, so to speak, or not receiving an answer altogether is quite commonplace. German efficiency demands, no, there will be an answer. You contact me, you're going to get an email back.
It's normal to call the HR department and ask about the application. It is common in Germany. Yeah, even the German do that when they apply for a job. They want just to know more.
Right. So, yeah. Of course, now the question is, let's just say all this works out perfectly fine. I'm sure there is a cost associated with the visa process and so forth. That's a question I think it's more challenging to ask because there are a lot of additional circumstances that play into it besides mm-hmm. the actual governmental cost. The best tip on this would probably be to just do a Google search and familiarize yourself with the different cost structures before we mm-hmm. give you information that is perhaps not wholesome. But let's just say all this works and the cost perspective is covered and you have an offer in your pocket and you're ready to just pack the bags and go over there. What's it like to be there?
From my personal experience, I came to Germany 2002 as an international student. Yeah. And my goal was not to stay in Germany, but I stayed because I had the opportunity. Yeah. Because I felt welcomed and I saw the opportunities for me. And through the years, I have also experienced a society which is becoming more open to immigration. So it encourages me and also my fellows to consider also the expect to stay here. So, I mean, the process is not the easiest one, yeah, when coming from a different country. But once one engages in this on this path, it is important to come at the end, to go until the end. And I would definitely say with a binding job offer is it's already a really good, it's the biggest thing, the biggest achievement has been done when one gets a binding job offer. And the rest consider, when arriving the first days in Germany, integration, learning or improving the German skill, that would certainly take some time, some more efforts. But at the end, I think the perspective or the opportunities for the career or for the living with the family here, these conditions are even better, are becoming better also for immigrants. Yeah.
So by looking at the population that you most often mm-hmm. work with, so basically immigrants, skilled labor, skilled immigrants, skilled job seekers.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges or biggest surprises that you hear of that they encounter once they get to Germany?
Yeah, talking about business etiquette, for example, the German are people who are always, they have always an agenda when organizing any meeting. So this is one thing that most international professionals did not really get. So it's important to be prepared before getting to any meeting. So if not, you will really be badly surprised. So let's say, this preparation is very important. Also, people are very happy about the fact that in Germany, normally you get 13 days holiday in the year. And also that you can also, when you have, when you get called, you can stay at home and continue getting your salary. Yeah, that's also not really. So the social system functions very well in Germany. So this this social cover system, really, this pretty good. It's an advantage also to be a woman in this society and know that I can get a job and still be a mother to my children at home. So the social system is so organized that families are women who want to stay in the job market have the priority when looking after a kindergarten place for the children. So that is that makes really the opportunity for women very very interesting. So I mean, when we compare to other countries,
right? I mean, we have maternity leave in Austria just as well that is federally guaranteed. Yeah. Whereas in the US, of course, we have no such guarantee. That makes it a little much
harder
for new parents at times. Although I do have to say that a lot of employers are actually now offering maternity leave in one way or another on their own accord. But in terms of the legal situation, as far as I understand, there is no such provision to safeguard mothers from maintaining their employment if they want to go on an extended maternity leave. So you already touched on the idea that German meetings are efficient. You better come prepared. And I would attest to that. We don't waste a lot of time with niceties. If the meeting starts at 9:15, it starts at 9:15, not at 9:20, because we ask everybody how their day is and how their dog feels. We get right to task. What are some of the other no-nos, the other you shall not do's in Germany?
The specificities of the language itself. So, I mean, for me, it was really interesting to experience that somebody coming from Bavaria, for example, and living now in the northern cannot say "Grüß Gott" to people there. It will be. They look at him a little bit strange and say, "Oh, yeah."
Really?
So, it was very interesting for me at this time. And at this moment, I didn't really get what the problem was because I didn't know this language specificity at the time. So, learning German is really good. If one speaks German, the modern German way, but when you are living in very provincial places, the people there will talk another German. No? Don't bother, it's not false, but it makes it interesting because you just learn another way to live. And what many immigrants also say that they are very surprised that the German they learn that they have learned in the classes are very different from the one they are hearing in the street. So this is what I mean with the difference of the language specificity. So I will always say no, that don't bother. What you learn is not false. Well, it's just another way to live. So just speak what you have learned, and with the time you will learn this dialect, so I would say. And this is quite interesting because people sometimes they are wondering why it's so different, the way of speaking and what they learn.
I guess also the pro tip here would be that commonly what we do is we try to seek out people who are like us. So if I'm an American immigrant to Germany, for instance, I could see that people try to gravitate toward the other Americans, so the American expats. There are American expat clubs and small associations. But that is, I would almost certainly say, the guarantee of not culturally immersing yourself and missing out on those finer nuances, where to say Grüß Gott and where to say Moin, for instance, which is a Northern German trait. So that I think really is a good tip, but it's also one that to really keep on top of mind because it goes so easily forgotten. That makes sense. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I hope I have answered your questions and give you more insights.
Oh, I'm sure there will be a million questions as we wrap this up. And if we need to, then I will certainly reach out to you and hope to get to you one more time for another podcast.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, there are still questions. I think immigration is a very broad topic. It's not possible to cover all aspects in 1 hour or
yes, it is. That's very true. Well, everyone, that was Michelle Minchu, a researcher for immigration at Make It in Germany. Michelle, once again, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, I thank you too. Have a great day. Yeah.
And this was Michael for Here and There, the podcast of the Germanic American Institute. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll hear you again in the next episode. Cheers.